This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Happy New Year's Eve and a toast to Free Thought. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor and this is Free Thought Radio, slightly irreverent views, news, music, and interviews devoted to the undevoted.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the weekend of December 31st, 2011, and January 1st. So this is either the last show of the year, or if you're listening in New York City, this is the first show of the year. Free Thought Radio broadcast from Madison, Wisconsin. And so hello to all you listeners in New York City, Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Monterey, and to HD radio listeners in Milwaukee.
And a secular Happy New Year also to our faithful, faithless podcast listeners.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're a national organization of more than 17,000 members who work to keep religion and government separate and, like we're doing on this show, to educate the public about the views of non-theists.
So it's been quite a year for Free Thought and for FFRF.
And we've actually, this year, ended hundreds of state church violations by educational letters as well as a lot of litigation. A favorite lawsuit of the Freedom From Religion Foundation this year has to be our challenge of Governor Rick Perry over his prayer rally last August.
Yep, and I remember very well picketing that, don't you, Dan?
Yeah,
that was in the
fun.
FFRF filed suit this year against a Virginia public school board for putting Ten Commandments in high schools. We're suing a rogue mayor in Tennessee for putting up crosses on public property. Another rogue mayor in Michigan for censoring our Free Thought sign in a public display, but blessing a Christian nativity display.
Rogue mayors or renegade mayors, you could call them. We're pursuing governor-proclaimed days of prayer in Arizona and in Colorado. And we're suing the IRS and the Treasury Department for its parish exclusion unconstitutionally benefiting clergy and their employees.
Now, what do you mean by that, Dan?
Well, members of the clergy, priests, rabbis, ministers, don't have to report their housing as income. It
lowers, housing allowances.
Yeah, their housing, whatever it is, rent or house payment or whatever, that the church gives them an allowance. And so it reduces their tax liability, so they pay a lot less taxes, which means that the rest of us who are not ordained by this mythical God are having to pay a higher load.
And actually, you are ordained, Dan, but you still don't get it. FFRF doesn't get it.
I used to, but we don't anymore.
And still at year's end, we are, of course, dealing with the fallout of a lot of nativity scene violations. They seem to never end. The one that has created the most noise is in Athens, Texas, where the Henderson County Courthouse displays an annual life-size nativity display.
An atheist group is not pleased with one town's nativity scene. Have you heard this before? Now they'd like to send a message of their own. Chris Gutierrez is live in Dallas with the latest. And Chris, what is going on with this?
You bet. Good morning to you, Martha. You know, Athens, Texas is about an hour or so south of Dallas. And people down there, the county officials say, no way, no how are we taking down this nativity scene. Take a look at it here. In fact, people are fuming down there in Henderson County because an atheist group that's actually based in Wisconsin want this small Texas town to take down a nativity scene that's sat in this courthouse square for more than 30 years. But the atheist group says one of its members down here in Texas complained about it. The group's leader now wants a banner to go up that reflects its members' beliefs. The banner, take a look at it here, reads in part, "At this season of the winter solstice, let reason prevail. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell." Here's what both sides are saying.
We would remind the government in Henderson County that once it creates a public forum, it can't reserve that space only for Christianity. They have to open it up to non-Christians, you know, I would imagine Festivus poles, the flying spaghetti monster, and non-believers.
If the Jews or the Muslims want to put a sign up there, have at it. But if you want to put a sign up there that says there is no God and there is no heaven, there is no devil, there is no hell, no nothing, then no, that's trash and garbage.
Local residents have now launched a petition drive to make sure the nativity scene stays put. This weekend, local pastors will actually hold a rally in support of those efforts. Local leaders again tell us that the banner's not going up, the nativity scene's not going down, and Martha, this could all end up, surprise, surprise, in a lawsuit.
We've seen enough of that. Thank you very much.
That's Fox News out of Dallas. So you'll note, any religions can put something up, but FFRF and our members and supporters in that county cannot put up our, what did he call it? Our sign, trash and garbage sign. Well, that is government censorship and blatant viewpoint discrimination. The state attorney general has not only gotten into the act saying that he sides with Henderson County, but Governor Rick Perry issued a statement, quote, "Faith and freedom helped build this nation, and faith cannot and should not be removed from public life."
Gosh, I'd read word of that, and I'd say, secularism and freedom helped build this nation, and that's why faith should not be in our government.
Amen. Secular amen.
Now, speaking of censorship, the mayor of Elwood City, Pennsylvania, is protesting the vote of the borough managers last week. And you may recall we announced that they voted in our favor in response to FFRF's complaint that they have put up a nativity display by itself on their city lawn for 50 or 60 years. They voted that they will not put it back up next year on city property. They did this rather than agree to post FFRF's winter solstice banner.
And here's a CBS out of Pittsburgh. Listen to what the mayor says.
New at 6 o'clock, the battle is on again in Elwood City. A week after council voted to move a nativity scene from City Hall, the mayor says no way, and he's ready to fight. KD investigator Marty Griffin has been following the story, and he's live in the newsroom with more. Marty.
It's never ending. In fact, the mayor says he will not be bullied by an atheist group. He tells me he's right now talking with a long list of attorneys willing to fight the legal fight for free as far into the court system as need be. This is where the fight started. This is where it's heating up tonight, right in front of City Hall over this nativity scene that's been here for more than 50 years. Last week, City Council, worried about the cost of possible litigation, voted to move the nativity off of city property next year. Now a defiant mayor says not so fast.
My plan is to fight this till the end. Till the end. If that means going into the court system, we've had a ton of support from attorneys and people that can help us in this cause, and I believe in fighting it till the end.
An atheist group called the Freedom From Religion Foundation calls this illegal, says it violates the Constitution. The same group wants its banner here that calls religion myth and superstition. When council voted to move the nativity, the group declared victory. Now it looks like this one is headed for the courts. At least two council members and the mayor say, so be it.
Many wars have been fought over religion over the years, and I think this is just another one of those that has to be fought.
The dissenting council members say this town sent a clear message to city leaders in early December when 1,000 people showed up to protest the possible removal of the nativity. That message preserved this tradition. Well, first, the mayor says he will pick a lawyer or lawyers to represent the community. He says more than a dozen have offered pro bono work. Then the mayor says he will lobby council to reverse its earlier vote. Next council meeting, January 9th. Reporting live, Marty Griffin, KDKA TV News.
So they can preserve their tradition, but not on city property. The mayor of Elwood City, his name was Anthony Court, actually thinks that atheism should not be allowed because it is evil. On December 2nd, he gave a radio interview on a radio show in Pittsburgh, actually equating our group with Satanism. He was asked if he would allow our banner up, and he said no. But listen to some of this interview.
What if the Satanists come by with a pentagram and an upside-down cross with a 666 carved in it? Is that okay?
I don't believe in their rights with the First Amendment with atheism. That's what they're promoting, and we're not going to be promoting that.
No. I'm talking about, let's say Satanists showed up, and they wanted to put a symbol up. Would that be okay?
Not here in Elwood City, no. I believe it's atheism.
Okay.
So, free thought is the same thing as Satan.
Of course, and freethinkers explicitly do not believe in gods or devils or heaven or hell. So, you know, that doesn't make too much sense.
As our sign explicitly says.
And did you catch the earlier segment where they want us to fight a war over religion?
Many wars have been fought over religion, and this one's worth fighting. They say, well, here we go.
Now, we are ending the year with what looks like a creationist fight gearing up for 2012, if you can believe that. You'd think this would be settled law. We have a complaint by our staff attorney, Patrick Elliott, to the school board in Keele, Wisconsin. You'll hear Patrick's comment in this Fox 11 TV news segment out of Green Bay.
It could be the beginning of a battle between faith and science in Keele Public Schools.
Now, the Keele School Board will be meeting tonight, and it's going to be giving the community members a chance to sound off on the future of the science curriculum for the high school freshmen there. At issue is teaching more than just evolution. Fox 11's Chad Doran has our balanced look.
Patty Kubetz is teaching her two children math. Kubetz homeschools her children and says she gives them a well-rounded education. Her husband, Randy, serves on the school board. And Patty says she's concerned about the education of the children in the public school system as well.
This isn't just about our children and teaching them at home.
Patty Kubetz wrote this letter to the Keele School Board, asking them to consider adding creationism and other alternative theories on the origins of man to the high school freshman science curriculum. Recently, the Madison-based Freedom From Religion Foundation sent this letter to the school board, threatening legal action if the board moves forward with what the Freedom From Religion Foundation calls an unlawful attempt to inject creationism into public schools.
This is unconstitutional to be teaching these creationism theories in the schools, and you know the district and the school board need to know that.
In an email to Fox 11, the school board president said, "In an effort to exercise responsiveness to our local taxpayers, we carefully consider concerns with due diligence." Randy Kubetz says he's frustrated.
It has nothing to do with Madison. We don't tell them how to run their schools or their towns. They should leave other districts alone.
But Elliott says the issue goes far beyond one school.
It's very unwise for schools to dabble in teaching religious theories alongside science classes.
But it's an issue Patty Kubetz is willing to fight for.
We're teaching our kids that evolution is the only way out there, and it's not.
Any changes made would not take effect until the 2013-14 school year.
The school board will take up the issue tonight, and its members could vote on the issue at its February meeting.
Well, this issue's already been settled. The Dover decision showed that creationism is not science and should not be in the science classroom. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And the battle of church and state will continue next year as the Freedom From Religion Foundation fights for a bright and secular future.
We got to fight the battle of church and state, church and state, church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, or the wall will come tumbling down.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we hope someday, today, you will join us at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021.
Annie Laurie, you wrote a blog this week about just one issue of the New York Times, the December 28th edition, showing the harm of religion.
Yeah, I couldn't get over it when I opened up the morning paper how much religion has to answer for just in leafing through the Wednesday New York Times. The top of the fold front page story was about Somali women being raped as spoils of war, detailing how gang rape is now a part of jihad or holy war, how women are told any resistance is considered a crime against Islam, punishable by death. And then I turned to page 4 last Wednesday, and there was an article about a little 8-year-old Israeli girl who is running a gauntlet of hate just to get to school because the ultra-Orthodox Jews don't think that she's dressed right. She's covered from head to toe, modestly dressed, a little bespectacled second-grade girl, being called a whore by gangs of grown men as she walks to school. And when the police came to help her and reporters came to cover, they were pelted with rocks and eggs and called Nazis, and the women reporters were hurled epithets. And then there were articles in the same issue about the incursions of the religious right in this country in our public schools, which mentioned FFRF, by the way, and also articles about the overt use of religion by GOP candidates in Iowa ads. So as I said in the blog, it's time for everyone who dissents from religion to make known your dissent and to redouble efforts to ensure a bright and secular new year. And all this depressing news about the religion created by the misery created by religion in the news at this time of the year made me want to hear in full the song that we always start our show with, and we don't have time usually for the complete words and music of Imagine by John Lennon.
Imagine there's no heaven. Susie, if you try.
Dan, you and Ken Lundquist played a duet of Imagine last week at the Wisconsin State Capitol on Friday.
That was fun at our winter solstice concert with more than 100 people who showed up.
Well, I think it was about 200. Thanks to everybody who showed up for that.
I'm Dan Barker, and you may be a non-believer, you may be a non-theist, an atheist, an agnostic, a skeptic, but you're not the only one. There are millions of people in this country who reject religion and embrace...
About 50 million?
And embrace reason and human kindness. So we hope someday you will join us, the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And I'm Annie Laurie Geller, and coming up, we'll hear from one of America's most sought-after atheist public speakers. Guess who?
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We interview a lot of in-demand, free-thinking speakers and authors, but there's somebody who often gets overlooked on our program, Dan, and that's you. You've spoken on countless college campuses this year, done a lot of debates, and one of your appearances this year at Skepticon 4 got a lot of YouTube attention.
Skepticon, this was their fourth year, the weekend of November 19th and 20th. And Skepticon is the, they say, the largest free thought event in the Midwest. It was an audience of more than 1,000 people there with speakers from all over the country, authors and activists.
And this is a campus event, right?
Yeah, it's associated with the campus. In Springfield, Missouri is where they hold the event. And it was right downtown Springfield.
And so your speech was getting a lot of YouTube hits. And what was it called?
Well, my talk was about an hour long. But there's a little two-minute segment of it where it's called You Don't Have to Go Down in My Basement. That's getting, I don't know, more than 10,000 or 13,000 hits. You can go to YouTube and look for Barker and Basement. And the entire speech is also online called You Don't Have to Go Down in My Basement. The other one's called Christianity in a Nutshell. And so...
what we have here is, about a 10-minute excerpt of your Skepticon 4 speech.
I used to think the good news of the gospel is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what verse that is? John 3:16. You know more than most Christians already, you guys. If somebody was standing out in the street and they were blind and a truck is rushing toward them, wouldn't you go out and grab them and take them out of harm's way? Well, that's how I saw my ministry. The world's ending, hell is real, and you people... don't you want this great message, this great news? I mean, why would you not want something so wonderful? But I now realize that the supposed good news of the gospel is really just solving a problem of its own making. It's like, how much respect should you have for a doctor who runs around cutting people with a knife so he could sell them a Band-Aid? You know what I mean? So that's kind of what Christianity is. You are rotten. You are doomed. You are horrible. Suppose you were walking by my house one day. You've been walking by for a long time. And I were to go up on the porch and say, hey, stop, I've got some good news. Good news for you people. Stop, stop, stop. You don't have to go down in my basement. This is great news. You've been walking by all this time. You've been ignoring me. And I deserve to be recognized and honored. And you've been ignoring me and it's made me so angry. And so mad, and I just get so horribly mad, so I built this torture chamber down in the basement. And there's some hooks down there, and there's some sharp things, and there's some vats of sneaky stuff, and there's a furnace, and there's some chains, and it's horrible, and there's flames. But you don't have to go down there. I sent my son down there. And... and it was gruesome. I tell you, it was really horrible. But that satisfied my anger. And now his blood was shed. And now you're free. You don't have to go down. All you have to do, come on up here. Just come up and tell my son that you love him, hug him, and then you can move in with us. We'll live up in the attic, and you can tell me how great I am. You can just tell me how much you love me, and we'll do that. Won't that be great? So would you keep walking? I really thought this was wonderful news. I mean, who would not want to hear this good news of the gospel? But it's a morally bankrupt system. Any system of thought that has to use a threat of violence to make its point to any degree, and what is hell? It's a threat of physical violence. In the Quran, it's even worse. Have you ever heard people say, what if you're wrong? You know, like Pascal's wager. What have you got to lose because you might, what if there is a hell? Well, with that kind of thinking, what you should do is pick the religion with the worst hell in it. Because you should pick Islam. In the Quran, which I read again for this debate I did, we infidels, me, And I told this to Hamza. You know, I said, I'm just because I disagree with you, the skin's going to burn off my arm. But Allah's going to come and grow it back again so he can burn it off again and again and again and again forever. While you Muslims, you faithful believers, are going to be sitting up on these purple couches under the fig trees with these dewy-eyed maidens sitting next to you, and you'll be looking down at us and laughing. Then you're trying to tell the world about morality. Apparently, according to Father Lucas and many believers, morality is from a list of rules. It's a bunch of commandments. You follow the orders. That's how you know what's good. This father figure in my brain is like what a toddler feels. Tell me what to do, Daddy. Tell me how to live. And in one of Dawkins' books, he points out that with many people, religion is just a form of arrested development because you never get out of that pre-conventional stage of morality where you just need to be told to you all the time. Supposedly, the Ten Commandments, the great, wonderful gift to our species that was never seen. In fact, you couldn't even look at it unless you were a Levite. God supposedly wrote with his finger. He wrote the finger of God on this tablet. Moses got mad and he busted him, so he had to go back and make another set. But, you know, in the Big Ten, of course, the first four have nothing at all to do with morality or how we treat each other. The Sabbath, for example, is one of the rules. Honor the Sabbath. The Bible tells us what happens if you don't honor the Sabbath. There was a man in the book of Numbers. The Israelites spotted this guy outside the camp. You know what he was doing? You know what horrible crime he was doing? He was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. Well, why would anybody be picking up sticks in the first place? Maybe to make a fire or who knows what. But does anyone in this room think there's something morally wrong about picking up sticks? But it was on the Sabbath. So they got the guy and they said, what do we do with him? So they went to Moses. Moses, what do we do with this guy? And Moses talked with God and God said, yep, he's got to die. This is from the Good Book, the moral teaching of the Good Book. And it's straight out of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the biggies. So they took him outside and they stoned him to death with stones that he died. The Ten Commandments were so important. You know, there's a story in 1 Samuel 6. For a while, the Philistines had captured the Ten Commandments. Kind of like capture the flag, you know. And they had this thing for, I forget how long, 6 months or a year. But it bugged them because then all these plagues were happening to them. They thought, oh no, should we really be careful what you wish for? They had this holy... The Ten Commandments in the Ark of the Covenant was... It would be like our Constitution, you know, how it would be like it would be like the most precious thing of any country. And it was stolen from the Israelites. But they had second thoughts because they were having all these things happen to them. And they thought, you know, maybe this God of this Ten Commandments is punishing us. We should maybe give it back. But how do we do that? So they came up with a scheme. They made this cart, and they had these two cows on the cart who had just given birth, and they put the Ark of the Covenant on the back of this cart, and they said, if there really is a God and he wants the Israelites to have their precious Ten Commandments back, well then, instead of the cows going to their crying babies, the cow will take it back. Well, it did. The cow started heading straight back to the Israelite area, and as it approached this one village, I guess it was, or town, it's called Beth Shemesh, which actually means the house of Shamash, which was a Babylonian god. So maybe the reason why the Israelite writer wrote that was to get back at that pagan god, but we don't know for sure. But here comes this cart pulled by these cows with this thing on the back of it. And there's these farmers outside, and they're looking, and they're saying, what's that? What is that? And as it gets closer, praise God, look, it's coming back. The Ark of the Covenant with the Ten Commandments that tells us all how to live, it's coming back. They were happy. Who wouldn't be happy? It'd be like, wow, this is great. This is what we're all about. It got closer and they looked and they it is. It is the Ten Commandments. So they broke up the cart and they built a fire and they killed the cows to sacrifice the cows to God, because God needs to have smoke in his nostrils, the Bible says. And you know what God did? He killed those farmers. Why? They weren't supposed to touch it and look at it. They weren't supposed. And some scholars think, well, this was just, the story was made up to keep people from looking into the ark because everybody knew there's nothing there. I mean, there's, don't look, right? It's empty. And then it says, not only were those 70 farmers killed, but 50,000 people in Beth Shemesh were also killed. 50,000 people. Well, that's one of the ways we know the story's a myth, because there was no town in that area at that time in history that had 50,000 people. Jerusalem was the big town in that area, had maybe 4,000 to 6,000 at that time. Some scholars think that that 50,000 was a translation error. It was really just 70. It's not so bad. God just killed 70. But if it is a translation error, what does that tell you about the reliability of the Bible? Suppose one of my kids, suppose Sabrina, when she was a little girl, had written me a birthday card, and it said, "Daddy, I love you." And she spelled the word love, L-U-V. And suppose I were to say, "Sabrina, you made a mistake. And besides, you call me father, not daddy. That's disrespectful. You need to call me father. This is how you properly show your respect for your parent." 50,000 people in Springfield have to die. That's the good book.
Okay, that was an excerpt of a popular talk this year by my co-host, Dan Barker, at Skepticon 4, Don't Go Down in My Basement.
Coming up, we'll have a tribute to the new year. We'll end the show with a few words, then Auld Lang Syne by the irreverent Robbie Burns, a beloved ballad. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. One of FFRF's major goals is to debunk this notion that it is thanks to religion that we have art and music and charity and value family and peace and all of that.
We have a daily calendar on our website and that you can subscribe to. It's called Free Thought of the Day. FFRF members can sign up for it, but you can go each day to ffrf.org/day to view the calendar for that day. Every day, it's full of famous freethinkers, atheists and agnostics, non-believers, and the surprising roster of musicians, artists, social activists, scientists, and many others who are not religious, and one of them is Robert Burns. Robert Burns rebelled against Calvinism in 18th century Scotland, saying that he was in perpetual warfare with that doctrine. He penned many sacrilegious verses and poems, including one saying, "Courts for cowards were erected, churches built to please the priest."
His classic impious poem is called "To a Louse on Scene on a Lady's Bonnet at Church," in which he penned those immortal lines, "Oh, would some power the gifty give us to see ourselves as others see us."
But the way he said it was, "the power the gifty gee us," right?
Yes, so I'm giving a translation.
It would have rhymed in his day. Mm-hmm. In fact, we saw Bobby Burns' birthplace this year. We were in Scotland.
In Ayrshire.
And the church, Annie Laurie's, you say your grandmother never saw a church she didn't like. Well, Annie Laurie has never seen a ruined church that she hasn't liked. And we saw that ruined church there.
That is where his father is buried and where they have a lot of his poem, his famous poem, Tam O'Shanter.
Yeah, he was
about superstition.
Yeah, that poem was inspired by him and his friends, his children even, roaming through that deserted graveyard by this ruined church in Scotland. Bobby Burns bequeathed the world the lyrics of the song Auld Lang Syne, which strikes a welcome secular note with which to end the Western New Year. We'll take a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne.
And as is our tradition, we're playing the real Scots version of Auld Lang Syne. This is a recording by Jim Malcolm, who usually visits the Madison area at least once a year for a concert. He has an entire album of lovely Burns music. We saw that for sale in the new Robert Burns Museum, as a matter of fact. So here is Jim Malcolm singing Auld Lang Syne.
should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should all acquaintance be forgot for old lang syne? For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne, we'll tak a cup o' kindness yet, for old lang syne. We both hae paidled in the burn frae morning sun till
Well, if I had a kilt, that music makes me want to put one on. Annie Laurie, you have Scottish ancestry, right? Your mother's name was...
With a name like Annie Laurie. And, of course, that's an old ballad, too.
The Freedom from Religion Foundation, also a nonprofit 501c3.
Educational
charity.
And so, that also gets you 10 issues of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, with full transparency, reporting on everything. We don't have room for everything, but reporting on so much of what our legal staff does, what we do educationally to promote free thought. And it's tax deductible for those of you who itemize. And you can join at ffrf.org or find out information at P.O. Box 750, Madison, Wisconsin 53701. We would love to have you sign up at the end of the year.
And that's one way to keep fighting the religious right and making the future a better world. Thank you, Dave, for a good job this year. Dave McCann, our producer and engineer, and our announcer, Buzz Kemper. This show and in Madison, Wisconsin. You can sign up to get the podcast at ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org. You can phone 1-800-335-4021, but just go to our website and join us. Support our litigation, our broadcast, help pay for Free Thought Radio if you listen. Get a sample issue of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, and tune in next year for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday